Thanks for listening to the Red Bluff Vineyard podcast. Also check out our website, www.redbluffvineyard.church, and find us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. If you want to stay connected more, also download the Red Bluff Vineyard Church app on the Google or Apple stores.
Hello. Oh, there we are. Good morning, you guys. Welcome, welcome. My name is Nikki. I'm one of the pastors here at the Vineyard. And as you saw in the video, Luke and Dawn, they're on a ministry mission trip in New Zealand, so I get the pleasure of sharing our message today. We're continuing our sermon series on Ephesians, journeying through Ephesians at the panoramic life. And I actually had to look up and Google what panoramic means. And it was really cool because there was one of the synonyms or explanations was a bird's eye view. And I thought that really does encompass the book of Ephesians so far. And it's just been really, really impactful for me to break this down week by week. We're going to be going through the entire book of Ephesians this summer and breaking it down each week, verse by verse, which I really love. So today, the passages that we're focusing on are chapter 2, verses 11 through 22. And before we get started, I wanted to pray for us. So join me in prayer. We invite you, Holy Spirit, and thank you for your presence today. God, I just pray that you would just be able to speak to the hearts of those that are looking to be close to you today. I pray that through your word that we can become closer to you and to know you better. I pray that you would just speak to us, that you would give us guidance and give us hope through your word. And we just thank you, Lord, for the privilege to community together and fellowship together in your name. I pray that you'd be with the children in the back and the volunteers and that they would experience your love today as well. We ask this in your name. Amen. Okay, I have to tell you guys, I was having a really hard time prepping for today. And I couldn't figure out what it was or why it was so challenging for me until I realized that today is my last day as the kids pastor here. I've been the kids pastor for 3.5 years, and today is my last day officially as the kids pastor. Tomorrow, Alicia is going to be taking over, and I'm still going to be here in July, but I'm going to be more of a supportive role and just kind of help the transition go smoothly. But I've had kind of mixed emotions because I'm going to miss the kids so much. I'm going to miss the kids and you guys so much, but it's just kind of becoming more real. I'm going to get a little more opportunity to focus on my church plant in Alturas this next month, and really looking forward to that. So I'm just super blessed and thankful that I get to be up here with you guys today. The passages that we're going to be getting into, they can be broken up pretty easily into three sections. So we're going to dig into some meat and potatoes today. Paul is really going to help us to remember not to take God's grace that Luke shared with us last week for granted. So let's take out our Bibles or your phones and go to Ephesians. And I have to ask you guys to bear with me because I'm going to be reading these verses, and there's a lot of verses that we're going to go over today. So I have them on the screen if you want to follow along with me, but it is going to take a few minutes because we've got a lot to cover. So let's get started. The first section, distance from God, his purposes, privileges, and people until made near in Christ. Verse 11, don't forget that you Gentiles used to be outsiders. You were called uncircumcised heathens by the Jews, who were proud of their circumcision, even though it affected only their bodies and not their hearts. In those days, you were living apart from Christ. You were excluded from the citizenship among the people of Israel. You did not know the covenant promises that God had made to them. You lived in this world without God and without hope. But now you've been united with Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus. Once you were far away from God, but now you've been brought near to him through the blood of Christ. And I wanted to camp out here just for a second, because Paul's reminding them and us about the tragedy that it was before Christ to live separate from God. He's saying, remember those Gentiles that were not circumcised or Jewish, that were excluded and divided from the sacred community of Israel, which is the single family of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They were living of the flesh without hope for salvation since they had no covenant with God. Can you imagine what that would have looked like at that time for the Gentiles, knowing that they would never have access to God. And on top of that, for reasons that were out of their control, like simply not being born into the family of Abraham. In verse 13, Paul says that it was Christ's blood on the cross that brought them and us near to God. How sad would it have been before the cross to live with no hope or possibility of relationship with God, or to even have any promises that you could trust in? What would it mean for your future with no possibility for salvation? Some of you might actually be like me and remember what it was like before you were a believer. Anybody in here not grow up in the church and become a believer later in life and remember life before Christ? I was looking around. Yeah, I got some girls over here that knew me back in the day. Surprise, surprise. Good to see you guys. But I remember what it was like before I was a believer. And I was trying to think about, you know, how could I describe my life before I knew Christ and my life after? But the reality is that once I experienced the Holy Spirit, I was so consumed by the desire to know him more and more that I don't even have words to describe what life was like before him. It's kind of like, do any of you have kids? And once you have kids, you're like, man, what was life like before I had my kids? It's like that for me in my mind. Which is interesting because it wasn't until I was 21 that I actually accepted Christ as my Savior and I understood what it meant to become a Christian. What Paul's talking about here and what Christ did for us means that the only thing that's separating any of us from our relationship with God and salvation is ourselves. That a relationship with God was as simple as me making a choice to acknowledge Christ and believing in him. Just an invitation for him into my heart was all that was standing between me and salvation. That it was not something that was unattainable for me, and that once I did it, I knew that there was nothing I could ever do that would take me back to that place that I was before. Because through Christ, I'm in relationship forever. And I'm so thankful to Jesus for that. I'm so, so thankful that the cross was what made it possible for someone like me to have the Spirit just dwell in my heart. And it's really important that we acknowledge also in this scripture that Paul throws in there, even the Jews at that time needed the gospel just as much as the Gentiles, but for a different reason. They regarded the circumcision as a badge of the covenant that they knew that they had the promise of the coming Messiah. The Jewish people that were living that way were equally out of line because that only affected their bodies and it didn't affect their hearts. Let's go on to the next section of scripture. Peace with God and his people because Christ has brought peace. Verse 14. For Christ himself has brought peace to us. He united Jews and Gentiles into one people. When his own body on the cross, he broke down the wall of hostility that separated us. He did this by ending the system of law with its commandments and regulations. He made peace between Jews and Gentiles by creating in himself one new people out of the two groups. Together as one body, Christ reconciled both groups to God by the means of his death on the cross. And our hostility toward each other was put to death. He brought this good news of peace to you Gentiles who were far away from him, and peace to the Jews who were near. And now, all of us can come to the Father through the same Holy Spirit because of what Christ has done for us. And I highlighted a couple of the scriptures in that verse that for me just highlighted like what Jesus had done was make and declare and become our peace. He united Gentiles and Jews into a new humanity. He reconciled all humans to God. And now they and we all have access to the Father. This new humanity does not segregate anyone because of their ethnicity, their gender, their age, their title, whether they're rich or they're poor. Jesus Christ in his death and resurrection identified with and represented all humanity. How absolutely amazing is that? There should be nothing that separates us from our fellow humans. All people are incorporated into him. And when he raised to new life, a new being came into existence, one in which people are one with Christ and one with each other. Grace not only connects us to God and to Christ, but it connects us to one another. I can't imagine the depths of the divide that existed before the cross. I'm sure the Jewish people, you know, they felt superior to others because they were born into Israel and they felt entitled to God's promises. And the Gentiles, I can imagine that feeling like they were looking from the outside in with no hope of ever being able to connect with God. How do you think the magnitude of the cross affected the Jews at that time? Israel assumed to be in a privileged position, and now the Gentiles, they're sharing in that privilege. And this got me to thinking a little bit. Do you think that our current culture, or our personal lives for that matter, do you think that they reflect the reconciliation given through the cross by Christ? Or do you think it represents the division between people and countries and communities, ethnicities, or genders? We're going to get into that idea a little bit more as we read into the next section of our passage today. Section 3, the people of God as the dwelling of God. Verse 19. So now you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens, along with all of God's holy people. You are the members of God's family. Together we are his house, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, and the cornerstone is Christ Jesus himself. We are carefully joined together in him, becoming a holy temple for the Lord. Through him, you Gentiles are also being made a part of this dwelling where God lives by his Spirit. Paul is declaring that the living God is constructing a new temple, and it consists not of stones or arches or pillars or altars, but of human beings. Temples back then, they were places that they would go to worship God. I think they even had political events at those types of places. Temples back then, they were where many believed that earth and heaven met. But with his resurrection and ascension, Christ became the new temple. The temple not made with hands, the one who provides atonement for our sins. No physical temple is now required. The church is the people. The people are the temple in which God dwells. If I had a nickel for every time I had to correct myself when Luke and Don first moved here, and I would refer to this place as the church. Let's meet at the church, or is the meeting at the church? And he would say, you mean the church building, because the church is the people, not the building. He would tell me that over and over, and he must have done it 100 times. I would probably have a pretty good, I could retire early probably for the amount of times that I took me before I got it right. But that's what he's talking about. The church is not the building, and that's what Paul is saying here. When I was asking God, what can I apply today for everybody to take home with them? Out of the scriptures today, what can we use in application in our lives? And what I hope that we all can take away from today is the simple truth that we belong and that you belong. Throughout life, most of us have had some sense of not belonging at some point, or we felt unaccepted or inferior. The drive for us to identify with someone or some group or some cause that seems important, even if it's only a sports team, is so predominant today. It just makes us feel important Like we need to belong, to have some sense of fitting into the world. Because from a sense of belonging comes the ability to relate to others and to accomplish things. This text says that we do belong, that Christ brought us home to God. We live in God's house as members of his family. And at the same time, we are the house in which God dwells. We belong with God and are involved in what he's doing. And every other person in the house is family with us. Christ has given us a place in his world, and from that, a sense of belonging should come. And it comes with a growing ability to relate and accomplish tasks for which we are called. There is quite a problem, you know, these days, especially with Christians in the Western world. We seem to only know individualism as a culture, but we really have to try to change that outlook. The passage today, it confronts our individualism and solidifies our involvement with Christ and those in him. We cannot separate our relations from God with our relations with people. Paul asks that we remember the determining change Christ has brought to us, which is the radical movement from being dead in our sins to being alive in Christ, from being excluded to being included. And it's a movement that is still at work in our lives every single day. And I'm so thankful for this reminder from Paul, because it gives attention to the fact that it's a continuing change that works in all of us. Remembering this can be an act of loving and worshiping God if we don't use it as a way to wallow in our former lives or for our own sakes. But if we use it to remember and focus on the change that Christ has brought for us. When I was praying last night, I was asking God, you know, what is it about this scripture that, you know, people in our church need to hear? I really felt like I wanted to provide an opportunity today for people who may have never made that decision to follow Christ. You know, there was a time when we weren't able to be in relationship with God. We weren't able to access God, but because of his sacrifice for us, now we can, and the only thing that's stopping us is us. Us taking a minute to saying, I am a sinner, just like everybody, every human on this planet, and I need you, and I want to follow you and invite you into my life. So with that, I was going to ask Riker to come up and pray with me. The last thing I wanted to leave with before we got into prayer and some ministry time is this note, that through him, no one should feel or be allowed to feel like they're an outsider, especially in the church, and that all people need to know that they belong. So with that, would you all stand and pray with me as we take a minute, and I just ask the Holy Spirit to come and just be present with us. Holy Spirit, you are present, and we acknowledge you, and we thank you, God. We thank you that you loved us so much, that you gave your life for us to be in relationship with us, so that nobody would be excluded from relationship with you and eternal life with you. And I just want to pray, Lord, that if your spirit is present in anyone's life right now that's here, that maybe has never made that choice, God, to invite you into their heart and to choose to live with you and for you, that they would have the courage, Lord, with the power of your Holy Spirit, to just acknowledge you, to acknowledge that we are broken and that we need you. And that they would just ask you, God, to dwell in their hearts from this day forward. And we just thank you, God, that we are able to do this not by our works, but by your grace. And I just thank you that every time we close our eyes, you are standing before us with your arms wide open, waiting for us to say yes and to invite you and to step into your arms. What a privilege it is, God, that you are always there waiting for us. I want to pray, God, for anyone that's here that maybe has felt far from you or hasn't heard from you or felt distant from you. And I just pray that they too, God, would just sense your presence and just step into your arms, Lord, and that they would just invite you into their life and into their moment, and that you would just powerfully speak to them through your spirit, Lord. I just want to thank you, God, for this opportunity that we get to fellowship with you and be a family, that we get to read your word and we get to know you more, and we get to be formed by that, Lord. And I just pray that you would bless everybody that came here, God, to seek you and to know you more, and that you would be able to speak to them through the scriptures today, and that they would be able to apply it in their life this week and to bring you glory, Lord. We give you all the praise. We are so grateful for you. We're so blessed by you. And we ask all this in the mighty power of your Holy Spirit. In your name, amen. Okay, I wanted to thank everybody so much for being here today. And next week, we're going to continue on to Ephesians with Wesley. He'll be up here giving our message. And I just wanted to remind you that Wednesday night, we don't have class because of the holiday. So to have a safe and wonderful 4th of July.